somewhere along the way, my 5-year-old daughter has picked up the phrase boom, which we use around my house in like a very D. Reynolds, Sunny in Philadelphia way. So it's like, you know, suck on that, mofos.
You we don't teach say her, that around boom the 5-year-old. But
say, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, like she would, you know, D would typically say something that was like the most horrible thing you've ever heard come out of a pretty lady's mouth. And anyway, so we have used we interject at the same time, the same way without saying all the awful shit. And now my kids picked it up. And so it's like, she's like, ate some candy corn. Boom. Like,
boom.
Yeah. It's like she's dropping funny. The mic. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So the missus was out of town this weekend, and I had the joy of wrestling with the two young ones at the same time.
5-year-old and 11-month-old.
Yeah, one of whom threw up in my car, the other of whom...
She looks pleased with herself,
too. Wait, when you said wrestling with, I like just like pictured you literally wrestling a baby.
Well, and don't believe me, that happens. That shit happens. But anyway, came out on the other side like the proverbial river of shit in Shawshank Redemption.
I watched the dog, and you came in, and sure enough, your daughter had puke all over her shirt, and she looked just pleased as punch.
Well, no, she felt better. She felt great. Yeah. And she goes, hey, Dad, I didn't track it. Like, she was like, I told her, like I have a reasonably new car. And she, I was like, don't try to. Like I told her earlier, like try not to get your shoes all over it. And she threw up all over herself. We had this awful scene, and then she goes like, "Hey, I didn't get that much of it on your car." And I was like, "Really? It's fine. Like it's totally fine."
How considerate!
I know. Yeah. That's what we're trying to breed is like considerate 5-year-olds. Believe me, that is the one moment of considerate in an ocean of otherwise. Anyway,
I'm sure there'll be more.
I'm sure there will be more. But anyway, excited to get back to the world of the grown-ups and listen
relatively
to
grown-ups.
Some of the music.
Yeah,
or you guys.
Use that term loosely. Yeah. You realize who's sitting on the other side of the table from you, right?
Sure. Well, it's a sliding scale. It's a bell curve.
Sure.
Yeah. There's no hawking of maturity here. Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking of maturity. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? You've lost me somewhere along the way.
Because he's been hanging out with... babies.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, I don't speak regular English anymore.
Good times.
That's pretty good. Well, since we've established that, why don't we go and talk about a record?
Oh, let's do it.
Okay.
Is that what we're here for?
Wait, what?
Is that what we're here for?
You just interrupted me. Yes, that's what we're here for. I'm Shane.
Ryan.
I'm Kevin.
And Mark.
Somebody likes it. Last week, for those of you that listened to last week's show, we discussed
I know where this is going.
Steely
already.
Dan album, Asia, which just makes me roll my eyes.
Shane's favorite like piece of art.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
All time. Yeah.
Also, how's the for the visual of rolling your eyes on podcast? But anyway, go ahead.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
So
there's got to be an accompanying sound for that. Would that be like a whoop?
Mark will fix it in post.
Yeah. I and you guys know this. I always have a running soundtrack in my head. Like there's always a song in my head, and so I woke up earlier than I wanted to be awake, not feeling very good because I had consumed liquor the night before, and the song that was in my head was Deacon Blues. And it was so
I couldn't. I had that song on my head a little bit this
and
week.
I couldn't and I couldn't go back to sleep. And I'm like, ah! But then I finally fell back asleep, and it was like the soundtrack of the movie of my dream or whatever. So like I would wake up, it would be in my head. I would finally escape it into sleep, and then wake up and realize it had been playing the whole time. It was just like this inescapable nightmare that I could.
Maybe that would be like your ideal alarm clock. It would be like Steely Dan songs. It would that would like definitely wake you up. Except for you'd probably have a shitty day.
So
you'd be
Shane,
pissed.
I get to listen to these songs before we do the podcast, and then we listen to them while we're recording the podcast. Then I have to go out and I have to actually get the sound bites for the podcast. So I have to listen to them again, and then I have to mix them all into the podcast. So
believe me, Mark, I know. I did that with whatever Meatloaf. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the pop
so,
well, the funny thing is, Shane, now that you mention it, so I had similar experiences this week where, like, I had situations where I would wake up or the last thing that played in my head before I went to bed were Steely Dan songs, but they weren't from that record. There's a line in Hey 19 off of Gaucho that is nothing that describes a bar as nothing but blues and Elvis and somebody else's favorite song. And like that always sticks with me. And I think it's reasonably clever. And I think I just sort of glued it to like whatever in my brain had been talking about Asia, the record. And so anyway, sorry for your troubles.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
That is a first world problem, my friend.
It is a first world problem.
That's all right. It felt like an inescapable nightmare.
Yeah, your own Freddy Krueger moment.
Kinda.
Don't go to sleep, or there will be lounge
Steely
music.
Dan.
Ring, ring, ring. Hey, 19.
That's about right. That's how it felt. Well, and I would wake up, and it would be so miserable and feel so bad. But then that I couldn't escape it.
Like Donald Fagan's like peering out from around the corner.
Yeah.
He's well. We said last week that he didn't
Michael
have a lot
McDonald
of friends.
In the,
maybe he's
in the
looking
corner.
For one. Hey, Shane.
Why that would be a really good, like, buddy movie.
Odd Couple?
Yeah. Shane and Donald Fagan.
Oh, I was thinking, like, you could have, like, a kind of a Lethal Weapon type movie, but except it's, like, Michael McDonald and Donald Fagan.
But
Donald
it
would
McDonald.
Michael McDonald
Donald McDonald.
It's Michael McDonald Fagan.
Donald McDonald. That's good.
The ultimate Yacht Rock mashup. But.
Yeah.
Anyway, good times.
We do have a record to talk about this
That's
week.
True.
A different one.
It is.
Whose week was it this week?
It was
week?
Mine. I picked
that
this
was
one.
That was
Shane. Okay.
So, yeah, this week it was Sylvan Esso by the duo Sylvan Esso. Did anybody ever figure out what that means?
No, I have no idea. I was going to ask you.
No, I don't know.
So I do have – here's the funny thing. This is actually the first record that we've covered in 50-some-odd podcasts that – is actually one of the ones that I got a whole bunch of press on when it came out. And so I did a little bit of like, I'm still on some lists that I used to be on. And anyway, the short version is I went back and dug up a bunch of that stuff. So I have little funky nuggets to share that are just like a little bit of probably.
Funky nuggets.
It's like,
looking
like
a great band name.
That would be.
It's an interlude.
That would be the backing band for James Brown's, touring show or whatever.
Well, if you had a kid that was a dwarf.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. Let's move on.
I don't know where we were. So,
Sylvan
Esso. You might have to pause this.
Sylvan
anyway.
Esso.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Duo
so,
yeah. from Durham.
Yeah. So, yes. So, here, let me read you the bio. So, I used to love to read band bios because most of them are, let's be honest, fucking terrible.
Yes.
Like they're just like it is an art form in the awful and cliche.
Many of them are very bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't promise that this will be that because it's very frankly just kind of cut and dry. But like,
they're doing pretty well, so they probably have a fairly professional operation.
At the very least, somebody who wrote the bio who was like, let's not jack around with this, let's just do it right. So, anyway, it says Sylvan Esso is a collaboration between vocalist Amelia Meath and electronic musician Nick Sanborn. Meath's powerful voice is front and center, unjoined by fellow harmonizers as it is in her folk group, Mountain Men. Sanborn, who plays bass in the genre-destroying, okay, maybe we're getting in there now, megaphone, creates intricate pulsing grooves for Meath's voice to inhabit. The pair's debut is Hey Mommy, Play It Right. It's 12-inch when it came out. A single with two A-sides. A single with two A-sides, dudes. You can't
That's
even
ambitious.
Flip it over. That
yeah.
shit is just one yeah. A-side after another A-side.
You just stay in your beanbag.
Right? Anyway, featuring a cappella and instrumental versions of each song. So, anyway, that is their it does get a little cheesy toward the end, but yeah, that's their bio that they sent out with their press.
I don't want to like sidetrack us too much, but you did remind me that I think it was Fables of the Reconstruction that REM on their cassette, which is the one I owned. I didn't have the LP, but one side was labeled A side and the other side was labeled another side.
Oh yeah, sure.
One thing that really stuck out of that bio when you read it was that she has a folk group, because I can really hear a lot of that in this album.
Well, yeah. Oh, sure.
Well,
sure.
No, this band is like a mashup, except for, you know, they're creating their stuff together, so it's not two different songs, but it's two definitely different.
It's lots of different stuff. I mean, this is one thing about, we'll get into how we feel about it, but one thing about this act, they genuinely sound just like themselves. Like, I mean, there's
echoes of, you could probably throw out Postal Service. Or,
yeah, right. Yeah, well, that guy's a big Dintel fan.
And Dintel being half Postal Service.
Yeah. But, I mean, you put it all together with, like, it's alternately one of the cool things and then frustrating things about the album is, like, she plays really loose and fast with rhyme schemes and, like, she'll mash up a bunch of words together, like, in a really fast run. And sometimes it works really well.
Well, I think you indicated to me that you thought I was going to dislike the first song on the record.
I don't like the first song on the record.
I like it. I genuinely like it.
I like it more. There's a lot. This
album. That was like the first single that got them a little notoriety, too, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Mommy. Yeah.
Well, and I will say that, like, it seems like among, like, those who have reviewed this record in print or on the web or whatever, they seem to sort of be split down the middle. So
yeah. It seems to be kind of a polarizing track.
Yeah. That's
I can And I can see why. I will say on repeated. Because I there's a lot of this album that I like a lot and can just stay on and, you know, in the background. I think that overall it's pretty great. But that song is one where, like, yeah, I mean, I liked it more the more I listened to it, but I still didn't love it the way that I did. Like, the stuff on this album that I really liked a lot. And that one never rose to that level, personally.
What gets me over on, like, and I don't think I like the record as much as you did, but she's got a beautiful voice.
Yeah, she does.
I mean, it's all, like, rounded edges. Like, there's nothing jarring I don't know what's the word, but... She has, like, a very soft, supple, mellifluous
voice.
It's
supple. Yeah. And mellifluous. Those are good. You know, the first... Why don't we listen to a song real quick? The first song that I heard off this, and I think is the best song on the record, is Coffee.
That's the only one I knew.
That's the one I knew.
Yeah, why don't we listen to that?
It's a dance, we know the moves. The bow, the dip, the woo. Though the words are true, the state is old news. Wrap me in your arms, I can feel it burn. Rock me in your arms, I can feel it burn. Get up, get down, get up, get down. Feel the rotation and start, see the next one waiting. Get up, get down, get up, get down, get up. Sentiments are same, but the pair of feet change.
So the interesting thing to me, and I know we haven't gotten to the part where we sort of talk about where we stand on all this stuff, and we can come back to that. But I just want to say, like, in general, when I knew that this was the record that we were going to talk about, one of the things that I was a little bit initially averse to was the idea that, like, sort of this, it can't, this music can feel like it falls in that bucket of, like, like doing the rock circuit, like the big festival circuit type stuff,
which they do,
and so, like, sort of in that MGMT, sort of tangentially in that sort of mm-hmm. area where there are, like, a lot of big synthesizers and sing-alongs. And it's not anthemic, like, in the way that, like, Fun and some of that other crap is.
Imagine Dragons.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But LCD sound system, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but it still sounds like, but I still originally thought, like, okay, well, there's a certain bucket that this is probably going to end up in. And I will say that I didn't exactly end up where I thought I was going to end up. So, for whatever that's worth.
Well, and apparently their new stuff that they're working on right now is going to be bigger and dancier and more festival friendly.
Okay. This has got some pretty dancey aspects to it.
Well, a lot of it's like kind of plotting and chilly. You know, so
plotting against Chile?
Yes. Yes, he's plotting against the government of Chile.
It's another coup. Pinochet was involved in the making of this album.
Yeah. This is how we get off topic.
Yeah, plotting with a D. Two D's,
I don't
actually.
See plotting. I mean, Chile, I get.
Chile.
It's reserved.
Well, there's some of it that's like more folky, but, you know, take out any acoustic instrument and put in
right, and those are
blips
the songs,
and bleeps.
And those are the songs that I think don't work as well as the ones where it looked like they were... Like, some songs, it seems like they... She came to the project with, like, fully formed...
Well, we should talk about, like, how this project came together. Because, like, she was doing her own thing. He was doing his own thing. And she just asked him, I guess they had met kind of at a show. And she said, hey, can you, you know, remix or add some things
flesh
on,
it out.
Flesh
like,
out some
yeah.
of my stuff. And they were just like, hey, this is pretty good. And then called it Sylvanesso.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can't. But I think it seems like to me, like some of these songs, they there's a distinct difference in the quality of melody, like how like not like high quality versus low
not
quality.
All just, of these songs have massive hooks.
Yeah, I know, and that's what I'm saying. The ones that do seem like they were worked on more together than the ones that.
Well, okay, so the impression I get is that they kind of sent stuff over. Email, sort of like postal service, but, you know, electronic and whatnot. So
I'd like to share a little bit of the, you know, so we always like, you know, I pulled the Pitchfork review. Pitchfork did not, like, the guy who reviewed this for Pitchfork didn't love it. Like, I think he gave it 6.2.
One of the rare occasions that I actually read up some of the reviews, and I actually agree with him.
Yeah, well, I thought that sort of the last paragraph of his review was frankly like kind of where I'd netted out on this to a certain degree, and so I wanted to share a little bit of it. Like he says, like raw milk, I can't shake the lack of homogenization. That small batch, quote, organic, end quote, presentation of Sylvanesso is the main draw. Sure, bands like 100 Waters and Tune Yards emulsify indigenous music into coherent and unique artistic statements. Electronic pop just as suitable for Coachella as it is for Coffee Bean, and that's, I think, totally true of this band. But their evolutions don't serve as a narrative, a statement about an audience writ large, namely that R&B, pure pop, and such should be considered a kind of folk music for people who've grown up in the 21st century, and hey, isn't it great that can exist side by side? In that sense, Sylvanesso is feel-good music on all fronts, and when it comes time to throw on something at a summer gathering that'll make people feel slightly hipper than they were when they arrived, Sylvanesso will be a go-to, but it still feels like I'm living in a beer commercial, someone else's idea of an inclusive hip summer day. And I was like, I can kind of see that. Like,
yeah, I probably wouldn't have put it that way.
I wouldn't, but yeah, it's a little meaner.
It's a little darker than sort of I feel about this record, but like...
But I think he's right about something to put on in the background of, you know, like on a...
Well, and
when
we did put it on last night while we were closing down the restaurant, and I kind of forgot about it for a little bit. I was like, yeah, I want to listen to this again, you know, get more of a feel for it. And it's not, like, necessarily super engaging unless you're, like, trying to sit down and really pay attention. It's not something that...
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. I don't love this album by any stretch of the imagination, but sometimes there's a place to have music that's like that, you know? Like, sometimes it's nice to, like, if... have music that sounds like this, you know, on, that's not just like, you know, there's a spot, because there's a lot of songs on this that are pretty damn good. I mean, it's a pretty overall solid record.
Sure.
Well, I already was a fan of Coffee. Like, I didn't know who it was or what it was called or anything, but like, I always already thought that was a pretty good song. There's probably 4 or 5 on here that I
yeah, probably about the same. I mean, maybe I think there are a few more than that, but the thing for me is that they just start building up a momentum, and then like the car goes into a ditch for a minute. Like there's like
what I tended to net out on it is I think their best work is ahead of them. Like their best work is ahead of them. Like,
oh yeah,
like there's a germ of something really interesting here that I haven't necessarily. I don't think I read a Spin article. And they seem like pretty excited about the stuff they're working on now.
Yeah, you know what I couldn't help but compare. Are you guys familiar with the band Tennis?
Yeah, yeah. Another duo.
Yeah. Well, that that first record they came out with is just they hit it out of the park on the first one, and then it got they got
or
back.
They aced it.
Thank you, Kevin.
Sure, Kevin, sure. Kevin played varsity tennis in high school,
yes,
by the way.
True.
But
yes.
They but they did get the second record was better than the first. It's just it got more. I don't know, not cohesive, but anyway,
more,
just
more good,
more good, it more yeah, gooder,
even gooder.
It got more gooder. I just kept comparing them just because there's a female singer and just because I actually because of what you just said, I think their better work it could be ahead of them. But however, let's listen to another song that off this one that I really like, and that's Could I Be.
Call that synth sound?
Are we on?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, electronic fart.
<It's> like, I told Ryan that it was like
a brown that, noise.
That's like it's like the that's like the promise. Like now I can never unhear it.
No,
like,
every time you hear that like, song,
yeah.
Oh, it's the electronic fart song.
I mean, yeah. you're not wrong when you say that, but
yeah.
Yeah. But it's still not right.
It's still kind of wrong. And I'm sure that after Mike Stevens hears this, he'll hear this song and then he'll just send me a text that says, screw you guys.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I like that.
No, I think it's a good song.
It is, yeah.
It's got a lot of, somehow there's like an austerity to it that we were talking about before. But that almost makes it more intense, like when the little things kick in. Or
well, and it's got that driving beat, but it's not quite dancey.
Right, right. Well, it's a simple like you know beat, but and that makes like a lot of her vocal gymnastic kind of. I hate to say vocal gymnastic. That implies that it's like Mariah Carey.
No, but
or something,
I think it's pretty good description of it. Really, because
she's got a lot of like. Winding and twisting and turning
it's
with the melody.
It's the way she strings the words together. They're not so much lyrics anymore as a true melody instrument.
Yeah.
Well, they balance each other out. I mean, his stuff is like really, super, I don't want to say cold, but, you know.
I get it when you say cold. I mean, I don't necessarily.
Her voice is very warm.
Yeah.
And his stuff is interesting and, you know, kind of goes in some interesting
places.
But he
provides.
It's
like,
glacial, that kind of, like it's.
Right.
Sure. I thought, you know, even though this is not really a sort of an accurate direct comparison in a lot of ways, like I thought a little bit of Portishead with these guys. Like there is sort of a, like some of the elements of this music feels like there is an intentional intensity to some of it.
Uh-huh. It's not as,
like,
it's
it
not,
doesn't get lost in that, but
it's not
it
as
lives
intense.
There.
Yeah, like, you know, it kind of reminded me of some of the quieter Massive Attack moments, but it doesn't sound like that. It's just reminiscent
great,
of it.
There's a lot of dynamic in her voice too. I mean, she knows when to express more and when to, she, you know, she drops down into these really quiet tones. So,
yeah, I mean, basically it's the same thing as Steely Dan.
Pretty much.
I would say
sure.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Yep. Go there.
Yeah.
Well, that wraps this up then.
Okie dokie. So, hey, want to do a few minutes with?
Yeah,
I reckon.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do that.
You know, oddly enough, some of the stuff from last week's show we've already talked about a little bit, but one of the things that actually ended up sticking with me as I was trying to decide what I was going to subject you fools to today was
I don't like where this is going.
was Ryan's Bow Wow Wow track. I mean, not that you had anything to do with recording it, but that you selected I Want Candy last week.
I did. That was my selection. I certainly had nothing to do with recording that when I was 9 or whatever,
when that came out. I got to thinking about, like, sort of songs of that era or some in the Wayback Machine that it, like, have stuck with me for one reason or another. And one that popped up that I thought we'd do tonight is Romeo Void's Never Say Never.
I love that song.
I love that song, too.
I don't know that I've ever heard that song.
And
have you ever been to an 80s night?
Yes. So then I guess
you've probably heard it.
You
I
will.
Guess I've heard it. Okay.
But anyway, yeah. So let's dive in and do that, and then we'll talk about it next. Interesting things about this band. First of all, like, this is before I get to the interesting things. I think that song is kind of, like, certainly the hook in that is, like, kind of fun and infectious, and
it's a blast. Never Say Never is the name of the song, but I Might Like You Better If We Slept Together.
That's what you pick up on.
That's what they're putting out there.
Anybody picks up on.
Yeah, so anyway, but doing a little bit of digging on this band, the vocalist Deborah Lyall, anyway, they're essentially a San Francisco act. There are a few things I think are particularly interesting. They went through a series of drummers in a Spinal Tap like fashion. I don't know if they all died or combusted or whatever, but there were several drummers.
Not certain if it was his own vomit.
Right, exactly. A bizarre gardening accident.
Cotton with dust for vomit.
Right, exactly. But she decided, like, so basically this band met at art school in San Francisco, and she decided to pursue art education after reading a fortune cookie that said, I got a fortune cookie that said, art is your fate, don't debate. That next January, I was enrolled in art school in San Francisco.
Like, wow.
Yeah, that shit.
It would have been even weirder if she had actually been in the debate club prior to that.
Right, exactly. Right. She was like, no, I won't. It's like, yes, you will. But, yeah.
I don't think there are a lot of, like, art students in the debate club. I'm just going to go ahead. And...
Well, it'd be like, it'd be Dada. But anyway, so, yeah. And then, apparently, at some point, she also formed a band called the Mummers and the Poppers, who are a punk parody band that covered 1960s tunes.
I would so
great.
Pay a cover to see that.
I know, me too. I was thinking the same thing. But anyway, yeah, that's Romeo Void's Never Say Never. I think that song's fun as shit, and it's got egregious saxophone in the middle of it to annoy
you. Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that in a sec. But before we do, since you were talking about cover songs, it just reminded me of my friend Ken for a few years had an ABBA cover band called Abba Gabba Hey, and it was like ABBA songs.
ABBA songs done the style of Ramones. That is genius.
That is so great.
It's genius. Yeah.
I want all of everything they ever recorded.
So here's what we have to... it is a testament to this song that I never noticed the saxophone in it before, because I certainly...
It's a good song, and like the sax is not used in an egregious way.
No, and that's what I was going to say. Like, the solo is a little bit annoying, but... the thing that bothers me about sax and songs, like, I don't mind, like, chaos, and like, his... Like, when he plays the sax like as an interlude in between the chorus and the verses. Like he sticks to this melody. It doesn't sound like David Sanborn. It's not that bluesy 80s sax.
The other thing that's really interesting to me about this band is that this song was not their biggest hit.
What?
Yeah.
This is the only song I know by.
I know. I said the same thing. They had a song called A Girl in Trouble is a Temporary Thing that became a top 40 single. So
where?
We may have to dig that up.
Well, maybe like, we don't just don't know. I mean, I knew this song definitely, but I didn't know it by the
time. Well, I know it from clubs.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm a
too.
Fan of like the 80s night, as you know. And this is a staple of every 80s night I've ever been to. Yeah.
Well, you know what? For me, what was interesting, like I was like, when did this song come out? Because when you look at the video, it definitely was in, you know, earlier in the 80s. Yeah. 1981, I always thought that it was part of the Riot Girl movement, like early 90s.
No, to like, me, like her vocals sound like a cross between like Susie Sue and the girl from The Waitresses.
Yeah, but I mean, like the way that she's like, it just, there were lots of like, it was like the content in the chorus was a little more common in like the early 90s. Like it was, it's pretty randy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can see how you'd like draw that parallel where, you know, like a lot of the Riot Girl movement was kind of in your face and it didn't like, I don't want to gross people out here, but like the girl from L7 like pulled out like a tampon and threw it at a crowd. Yeah. At a festival in England, Reading Festival, I think.
But that was like sort of part and parcel for like what?
Yeah, it was like, they're like in your face feminism.
Well, how shocking can we be?
Like, yeah.
But there were different aspects to that kind of music. But I mean, it just lyrically that content fits in more with my remembrance and understanding of like the Riot Girl movement, because you can go all over the board with the way they sounded from like straight up like, you know.
Yeah, but this is a little more like dancey, polished, not as. Like a lot of that Riot Girl stuff kind of went along with like the grunge movement.
It did, but not all of it was like that.
This song in particular struck me as a contrast, especially after I learned what you taught us last week, Ryan, which was that Bow Wow Wow ended up being essentially like a record mogul construct. Like this is the opposite of that. This is this band that came up doing like punk covers of 60s tunes, went through four drummers and just happened to put out a couple of really good songs that have stuck with us.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd necessarily call Bow Wow Wow like a record mogul construct. Like
Malcolm
McLaren was like just this crazy impresario, but basically like a boy band, but better.
Well, but a construct.
Yeah, certainly like a put-together manufactured band that people auditioned for. And stuff. But yes, this is not that.
This is not that. So anyway, that is that's Romeo Void's Never Say Never.
Good song.
Yeah.
I'm glad we listened to that.
Yeah.
Want to get back into some Sylvanesso?
Let's do that.
Do it.
Thanks, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
We always
has to happen every
has
show.
To happen at least once.
Like I tried to make it beneath my voice.
It's just a model of consistency.
That's right. I'm a metronome.
Okay, I'll buy that. this is we're going back into an album that's I don't know, pretty similar to what were we talking about, Steely Dan earlier?
Yeah,
like I just wanted to have 2 weeks in a row, like have two really similar sounding albums.
Well, let me ask you this, and I think I'm going to redirect here because I think we've exhausted all the comedy out of that one.
It's wrung it dry.
Did you notice how her voice kind of sounds a little bit like that girl from Of Monsters and Men?
But better.
Yeah, better.
It does sound like
and
it.
And it's a better band, well, you know, or you know, more, you know, more up my alley kind of band anyway.
What, Monsters and Men?
No.
Or Sylvanesso.
Sylvanesso.
Yeah, I'm not a Monsters and Men
I mean,
lover.
You know,
it's fine.
It's fine. Yeah, like, you know.
But you know what?
I don't get mad when it comes
on. Well, they were one of the Hey bands that was big a couple years ago, shouting Hey.
Fancy hats and suspenders.
Yeah. Man, we could do a whole show of Hey bands.
You know, I actually have seen Of Monsters and Men live, and they were great. So I shouldn't be talking all the shit.
They seemed fine. Yeah.
It was just weird.
It just seemed like a movement that was kind of like foisted upon us. I don't know.
Yeah. Thanks, Mumford and
Sons. So yeah. Well, I agreed. So The Consequence of Sound review for these on this record classifies this bit as partway between Purity Ring and Dirty Projectors. Do we think that that's crazy?
A little bit. I kind of don't.
It says between.
I love Purity Ring a lot.
Yeah.
But I can see that closer. Yeah. I mean, I kind of get that. I guess you know the thing is that neither of the singers in those bands have. Like, I love how you singled out her voice as supple earlier.
Sure.
It's just there's so much that she's malleable. There's like you know it's almost like you just.
Well, I don't know if she has perfect pitch, but it sounds like it, and so she has freedom to kind of do a lot with it.
It's definitely the most interesting part of this music, for sure. But I okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say they further qualify that by saying, you know, between contemporary electronic music and ancient folk cooing. So, like, whether that's true or not, like, I mean, I think you can sort of, like, those are the baselines of this act, right? Which is that you have the foundation of the electronic portion of the music, and then you have the sort of nimble placement of the way that she renders her lyrics on top of his bass.
Well,
the,
you know, like, he set up. Just watching you say that, or listen to you say that right now.
I did gesture.
Yeah, it was the gesture that sold it.
Yeah.
When I was reading earlier about them and, you know, the folk thing, and I was getting like, Jesus, just like fucking Father John Misty, quit calling a guy a folk. But now you say that, and I'm like, oh, well, I can think about, like, the way she's singing in relation to, like, old Gaelic folk songs, like that kind of, like, more traditional forms.
Sure.
Not like Joan Baez,
right.
You know?
Well, no, right. But, like, this also wouldn't sound 100% out of place in a coffee shop.
No, but
that's true.
No, I mean, you're right about
down,
that.
But yeah.
I mean, no, you're right about that.
I think they should do coffee shops at the same volume.
What? Just fucking blast the shit out
as they did at ACL.
Yeah, just turn your espresso sideways. Goddamn it.
Yeah.
I've seen stuff at coffee shops, not too far off from this. Not that I spent a lot of time hanging out in coffee shops.
I'm sorry,
music.
Shane. I derailed you. So you were making a point about sort of where they.
I'm just saying, like, if you think about it in the terms of like Bob Dylan or what we see American folk music as now, which is not real folk music; it's a genre. Like as far as like real like folk music and from indigenous.
It's a distilled version of what the original was.
Well, it just if you think about like the way that her melody lines are, like a lot of that music was originally meant to be sung sans instrument. And so it kind of makes sense to me now to call them folk if I look at it from that point of view, from that paradigm.
Sure. And I mean I definitely think that there seems like there are folk elements that are there. But it is interesting. Like essentially, like the roll up from some of the reviews that I read seemed to indicate that, like, you know, they're not exactly one thing and they're not exactly the other. They sort of occupy this little bit of an oblique space within those two different areas, and they're unique in that way.
They're
so
unique in a lot of ways. You're
well,
right.
It seems like kind of a serendipity, happy accident that kind of happened, like them meeting up and it just kind of working.
Chocolate peanut butter situation.
That
yes,
is
exactly
actually the
like
ultimate
that, yes.
Serendipity yeah, situation.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, what were those old commercials? Like
you got
kids?
Your chocolate in my peanut,
well, peanut
butter.
You got your peanut butter in my chocolate.
You got,
like,
your
what weird kind of traffic accident is like where that?
You got your synth in my
like some
folk
guy
music.
Just got a jar of peanut butter in his lap. The other dude's like gnawing on a Hershey bar.
There's like one. I remember like there's some dude in a like watching a play, I think, and he's got a jar of peanut butter, and there's some guy in the balcony that drops his chocolate into his peanut. Maybe it's a movie theater. Like,
dude,
yeah,
that shit
like,
happens all the time, man.
What my
that you I can't just, tell you how many times
hey,
I brought
wait,
my jar of peanut butter.
Look,
into
I play. Know we're gonna be late for the movie, but we have to stop by the convenience store so I can get my jar of peanut butter. You know, I always eat peanut
so
butter
stupid.
At the movie.
It's like, yeah, if you the whoever comes up with that, like, well, two things. One, our buddy Colby, who works on Madison Avenue, New York,
and loves it.
Always says, like, well, that means that there were worse ideas. Like, that scares me.
Well,
that
you know
really
what, though?
Me.
But
like,
everybody like, knows the two great tastes that taste great together chocolate peanut butter thing.
Yeah,
so.
But anyway, like, yeah, essentially sort of circling.
So Sylvanesso is chocolate and peanut butter.
Sylvanesso is like the Reese's peanut butter.
That right
cup.
There was the best 2 minutes of that we've had of this podcast.
It was pretty
well,
damn good.
It's near
you
Halloween.
Know, thanks, Mark. Yeah. Sometimes I think that we as talent get underappreciated by producers like you, but it's nice so often to.
No, Mark doesn't underappreciate this shit. There's no way.
Do we have another song from them coming up? Or
Ryan's
we,
like, please.
Or are we going to the new thing?
Well,
I don't know.
I think, let's. I mean, since we talked about it earlier, I think it would probably be a good idea to listen to Hey Mommy.
It's
such
I
a different
it.
Sounding song from the
from
other
the
two
rest
that we
of
listened
the record.
To.
Sure.
Yeah.
She rockin' so fast, oh lady, she don't know how she goes. She rockin' so fast, she rockin' so fast, she rockin' like a fairy. Her image lasts, and I know she floats so long as she goes. She owns their eyes as she flies right through the sound, moving her body all around town. Hey, mommy, hey, mommy, I know you want, I know you want. I know what you want. Sooner or later, the dudes at bodegas will hold their lips and own this shit. Coming to terms on a shivery tip. But I hear her, she don't know the gravity she holds as she pulls on the eyeballs of all the kids standing tall.
It gets better in the song later in the song when the beats kick. And it's the same thing that I was saying earlier. The stuff that's the least interesting to me on this is the stuff with the least amount of beats. Like, I think once the beats and the bleeps kick in, it the song, like,
I
really...
I think you're right.
And it's designed to be that way.
Well, I don't think
tell.
This song sounds like anything else on the record, really.
Like, well, no, but there's, like...
fewer of the bleeps and blips and blorps and electronic farts.
I'm saying...
Blorps.
Blorps. Like, there's a song like The Wolf... or whatever, when it's, you know, like those songs when there's not a lot of beats and it's just a lot of words and stuff, those are the least interesting to me, you know. And this is kind of that way at first.
Well, what I really like is where her vocals are like triple or quadruple tracked or whatever, and she kind of harmonizes with herself. Like,
yeah, they did that
beautiful.
On purpose. Yeah, it is
well,
beautiful.
I assume. And
well,
you know
that's
what
not what I meant, you moron. But I mean, like, yes, you would assume that they did that. I'm just saying they wanted to utilize her voice as an instrument, and so they,
yeah, like, I thought they did a really good job. I don't know why it's polarizing. I think it's pretty great. And I agree
with Shane on the spareness being particularly interesting. But yeah, go ahead, Rye. Sorry.
Well, I mean, I just think it's interesting as a we gotta have to stop using that word, by the way.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's compelling to me. It's about this song, and I don't normally delve into the lyrics all that much, but it's about walking down the street and getting catcalled.
Yeah, I mean,
well, we all know what that feels
well,
like.
Well, I mean, totally, you know, like constantly getting catcalled by all.
Hey, hot guy, is that a thrift store shirt?
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
Actually, right now, yes, it is.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's kind of your thing.
I estimate about half my wardrobe I bought at thrift stores.
Sure.
You have a
probably
Ryan.
The other
you
half
have a
I
Ryan
got Christmas
look.
Yeah.
You have a very distinct
Marcus Rice, our friend who's been on the podcast, once told me that I had like a uniform. He's not wrong.
Anyway, circling back.
Anyway, saying. No, it's about like walking down the street and hey, mommy, like, you know,
I was
talking about walking down the street and having, you know, being leered at.
Yeah,
which, you know, we'd probably enjoy. Honestly, if there was like a reverse situation where like girls,
but would, that's because we that doesn't happen to
it
us.
Doesn't happen
like
to us
every yeah. No, I'm saying like every minute of every time you do that. I mean, like I've seen people walk down Congress Avenue here in Austin. People yell like women get yelled at from cars, and like
I don't think any of us are pro leering like or pro catchers.
No,
like but so we get.
Well, I mean,
but
we I'm all like, we all check like, out women, but I think. Most of us have the decency to be kind of surreptitious
well,
about
yeah,
it.
It's not, sort we're of not the getting point. In there. Like, I'm not trying to get in somebody's space. So everybody checks out everybody, but it's the point where you cross the line where it gets into harassment when you just in you know, just assume that you can just get into their space.
So like, so circling back to the song, where does the song net out? Like, do you feel like it's just a statement on what it's like to be in that moment from her perspective, or is it
I think
are they trying to make a point in another way?
I think that she's definitely trying to make a point in the way, like in what I was just saying. I mean,
okay, so one of the lyrics, I pulled it up, says, sooner or later the dudes at bodegas will hold their lips and own this shit, curling their toes on a shivery tip. Like,
yeah, she's saying, like, I mean,
like, they're going to understand. Like, I don't know that she's right, but, like, it's, you know, at some point, it may just they're going to understand. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm kind of been a dick here. This is somebody's sister. This is somebody's mother, somebody's daughter.
Right.
And to that point, like, she tells it from a distinctly sort of New York perspective. Like, mm-hmm. the whole bodega thing, like, all that, like, Shane, you probably see, like, all those little sort of, like, tiny restaurants that, like, they're like, they have patios, but they're really sort of half-assed patios. And like, if you're catcalling from that area, like in that sort of packed-in space, like you're sort of really,
yeah,
oblivious.
It's pretty common. That's especially if you're talking about New York. Yeah, that's a little pervasive.
Anyway, interesting. Yeah, interesting track.
Yeah, the more when you get into the lyrics, I knew what the song was about, Ryan, but I hadn't read the lyrics, and now, you know, reading them, it makes me like it more. I like it a lot more, like I was telling you, than I did when I originally
well and
said
I think
like
as
it.
Like a whole, like the record, I think is one of those repeated listening things that grows on you a little bit, because I've listened to it like maybe 1.5 times. This song I've listened to 3 times. Coffee I knew already. But the other stuff, like, it grows on you a little bit, but it wasn't, like, an instant, like, you know, earworm all the way through.
It was a grower for me, too, but, I mean, like, there are some songs that are really immediate. But I listen to it a lot, actually, several times, because it's easy to insert into your life. Not, like, easy listening music, but it's just easy to be background music, or it's easy to...
It is easy background music.
But it's also music that, like, when I say background music, that implies that it's boring, and it's not boring necessarily.
Yeah. I don't know how you don't like LCD Sound System and you do like this.
Because I think that the songs, there's more melody involved. He doesn't have a lot of melody.
I don't know. Okay, so, like, the genres that kept coming up for Sylvanesso was, like, what was it, like a electro folk or something?
Yeah,
or,
I could see.
And for LCD Sound System, it's dance punk. And like, and that implies to me more energy. And like, there's energy in it to me while still being compelling and not in like a rote, repetitious kind of way with LCD Sound System. We won't go.
I think it's incredibly repetitious, LCD yeah. Sound System.
There's some, but it's not in like that kind of boring DJ way.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
a lot
sure.
of people agree with me, and that's and you don't, and that's okay.
I like how you present that. A lot of people, you know, pretty much everybody agrees with me, and you don't. But you know, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine, man. I mean, you suck, and I don't. So
clearly, you have no taste in music, and I do. But
yeah, which is why we've been friends for what 22 years or whatever it's been. Yeah.
Okay. Well, guys. That was Sylvanesso by Sylvanesso. I like how Ryan sent me a text, and he's like, what's the record this week? And I was like, Sylvanesso.
Call me a grandpa.
And he goes, I have no idea what that is. And I was like, it's a band and an album. And then later I was like, you sounded like an angry grandpa. I don't know what this what this music is.
He'll swing at you with his good hand.
Yeah, that's true.
So for this week, it's going to be 3 out of 3 of us have not heard the song before, but we are diverting from the format a little bit, and that it's going to be another Sylvanesso song, but it's not one from the record we just talked about.
Which I think will be interesting. I mean, to see where they're moving along.
Wait, and this is from the future release.
Yeah, like this song is
from the future.
I was going to say, yeah,
this is a song from the future.
Oh, yeah,
it is 2015.
Yeah, we're almost to the...
tomorrow.
Tomorrow is Back to the Future Day?
It is.
Well, there you go.
We didn't even talk about that.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I didn't know
anything
about
this. How many gigawatts is this song, Ryan?
What was it? 3.21? I don't remember.
I don't know if they're still around, but for years there was a burlesque act called the Gigawatts.
I've seen them. They're highly entertaining.
Were they... Anyway, yeah.
Did they have
fine.
Flux
yeah.
capacitors?
I don't know.
I don't know that they had... Well, they had flux something.
Okay, let's listen to the song.
But yeah, it's called Jamie's Song, and so it's from a forthcoming release.
What's it
by
about?
Sylvanesso.
Is it a cover of an Aerosmith song?
It is. God, I hope it's not Janie's song.
Janie's got a gun. Janie's got a gun. What's the name of the song?
Janie's got a gun.
I literally
knew a stripper back in the day who was named Janie, and she would like use that song on stage. I'm like, I don't think you've listened to the lyrics. It's not really stripper friendly.
Anyway.
Anyhow, this is Jamie with an M. M as in Mary. Jamie's song. And let's listen to it all for the first time.
Janie got a gun.
It's not me you're talking to. Gently dancing in my room. Through the light beam arc, I'm all stops and starts. I'm all space and stars. I'm a brilliant machine, composed of softer beings. Compression ache, scale bends and sways. Another nova on the way. Though the constant feels constant, I'm breaking up. The choices I make will all fade to death while the matter's shifting up. Waking up, I remember who I thought I was. It's not me you're watching.
Jamie's song by Sylvanesso.
Yeah, the Aerosmith has really changed their sound.
Well, I have to say I like this better.
I do too.
A little, you know, they're pretty similar.
Then sure. Dude looks like a lady.
Yeah.
So I want to say something about this song. Like, great song. Like, I'm glad that you played it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. It doesn't seem like that much of a departure.
It does for me, and there's two different things. It's not too much of a departure, but it's more melodic based in what she's singing.
I think that's true.
And also you can tell, and it kind of confirmed my suspicion, which is that the stuff that I think is the stronger stuff on the other record are the songs that they wrote together rather than the stuff that she came to him
with.
It's
a subtle difference between like sort of two independent freelancing points that come together in synchronous ways and things that are intentionally put together to be together.
Right. There's a lot better melody in the instrumentation on this that plays much better with her vocal.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of a trade-off because you kind of lose the originality of a lot of what you got from the Sylvanesso record.
Sure.
But that's a slow builder. That hook, I have a feeling, is going to stick around a little bit.
I won't really know if I like it until I hear it about 1,000 times louder standing behind 17,000 people.
That are all taking pictures with their phone.
Of themselves and
texting and blogging about it, tweeting about it.
Yeah.
Waiting in line for the porta potty.
By the way, can I just say, we won't go down the rabbit hole on this, but like, way back in the day, we've talked about some of this on previous podcasts, but like way back in the day, in the beginning days of ACL, we used to sort of camp out in between two stages, and we would just flip camp around from one stage to the other when bands were playing, and you totally can't do that anymore. And this would be the kind of thing that I could see like sort of being up on the berm in the hill and like just pointing your camp out and sort of watching these guys noodle in the darkness.
Digging your beer out of the ground.
Digging our beer out of the ground, which we had.
I'm going to call my prog rock band Noodle in the Darkness.
We've got some good band name, Funky Nuggets.
Funky Nuggets?
Noodle in the Darkness.
You're welcome, boys. You're welcome.
That's a prog rock band, for
yeah,
sure.
For sure.
Noodle in the Darkness.
Maybe a little jazz fusion in there. Like,
oh, no, that's Funky Nuggets, dude.
I think maybe that just killed this episode of the podcast.
Well, I liked that song a lot. I'm glad we listened to it. Like I said, it confirmed what my previous suspicions were. And
well, and that's about as fresh as it gets as far as like you know, a new track. Like, I think they put that up in August.
Yeah, yeah. So I get what you're saying now. Yeah, it's not 7 years old.
It is not 7 years old. It is in fact very, very new. So new, in fact, that it's not even on a real release yet.
Well, good song. And good times.
All around.
Yeah. Festive.
Ryan, what do you have for us next week?
I've been kicking around a couple things, and I'll run past you guys. I either want to do Husker Du's in Arcade or a Libertines record, and I don't really know much about the Libertines.
I don't know much about Husker Du. Surprisingly, I should.
Let's go into Husker Du's in Arcade.
Well, there's talk that Husker Du may reform.
Really?
At the very least, they're talking for the first time. All of them are talking for the first time.
Yeah, well, in the spirit of like why I initially kind of wanted to join this podcast or help form it or whatever, like there's some stuff I need to catch up on, and Zen Arcade keeps popping up. I've met Bob Mould. He's a really nice guy.
Ooh, Ryan.
Oh, it's yes. It's the my defining characteristic is that I met.
He's a
Bob
super
Mould.
Name dropper.
Yes, yeah. Big time.
Yeah. Hey, you know Bob Mould? Met him.
Yeah.
That's right, man.
It's boom. Cool. Yeah. Turn around, walk away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're having lunch on Wednesday. It's fine.
Sure.
No, I met him. Like, he was super nice. We had a conversation. Like, and he's a good dude. This album seems to be the one that comes up quite a bit. And so, yeah, it's in Arcade.
Yeah, let's do it. That sounds really good to me.
Right on.
All right. So, shall we wrap it up, fellas?
All right, let's wrap it up. Let's do it. Let's just pull the Band-Aid off. Shane.
Ryan.
Gavin.
Mark.
Somebody likes it.